Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, January 3rd, 2021. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, It's Heartbreaking, a Sunday special on the coronavirus and our community. The pandemic has taken a toll on businesses across the spectrum, but the restaurant industry has been hit particularly hard. As closures mount, effort intensifies on helping others survive next stretch. By Ben Zichterman, Champaign. When the COVID-19 restrictions hit, Hickory River Smokehouse franchisee Mike Madigan finally had time to install a bar at the restaurant in Urbana. I'd been wanting to do that for years, but I didn't want to shut down the restaurant to do it, he said. Because of the shutdown, it was the perfect time. Little did I know I would be shut down for 10 plus months. The bar is installed and ready to go, and Hickory River has been able to survive because of its drive-through and quick addition of online ordering with curbside pickup. The drive-through has been the thing that has helped us survive and to keep staff employed and to continue to be able to meet our bills, Madigan said. But we have taken a financial beating this year, no doubt about it. While Hickory River made it through, the News Gazette identified more than 20 area restaurants that have closed permanently, while some, such as J. Gumbo's and Firehouse Subs, closed before pandemic restrictions hit, many others shut their doors afterward. Among the departed, J.T. Walker's in Mahomet, Rosati's in Urbana, and Hank's Table and Bossa Nova Cafe in downtown Champaign. The Champaign County Chamber of Commerce has compiled a list of 35 businesses that have closed since the pandemic hit, President Laura Weiss said. Two of those businesses have since been purchased and will reopen, Savoy 16 and the CU Woodshop, she said. And of the 35, three are temporarily closed during the cold months. There is no doubt that we have lost and will lose some businesses because of the pandemic and its impact, and it's heartbreaking, Champaign Mayor Deb Finan said. It's heartbreaking for the owners, for the people who work there, because our restaurant and bar industry employs a ton of people, and heartbreaking for our community. But Finan praised the restaurant industry for finding ways to adapt. They have been incredibly resilient, and our community has been supportive, she said. What I see is a bunch of entrepreneurs that quickly pivoted. Some have an online presence who never had an online presence before. They figured out curbside and delivery and those little igloos and outdoor areas. Once vaccines have been widely administered, Finan expects business will pick up and people will want to dine in at restaurants and bars again. No doubt the students are clamoring to do that, and I think the rest of the community is as well, she said. Weiss said her group worked with its statewide association to organize the Chambers All In campaign to complement the state's messaging. Our campaign is a reminder that the sooner people follow the CDC guidelines, the sooner we can get our numbers down and get businesses reopened, Weiss said. Fortunately, Champaign County has been really good about being compliant. Finan agreed. For the most part, I have found that our restaurant and bar owners have been partners in helping comply with the governor's order and maintaining our community health, she said. I'm incredibly appreciative of that because it's been a huge sacrifice for them. Going forward, Weiss said the chamber will help host a statewide economic recovery conference in early spring. And she said there's a task force of chambers working on economic recovery ideas. This could be in the form of new programs, legislation, or removing barriers, Weiss said. These recommendations will be shared with elected officials. Finan said right now she's focused on helping existing businesses survive. And Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said city staff are doing all they can to process grants to support businesses. She also said restaurants and other businesses may look different post-pandemic. I'm not just thinking about restaurants. I'm thinking about remote work, different ways of reaching customers and providing services, and who is using facilities, Marlin said. This is going to be a period of transition. Madigan said he expects to keep at least one pandemic adaptation, curbside pickup for online ordering. That's probably something that I think is here to stay, he said. I think a lot of people will prefer curbside as opposed to eating in the dining room, at least for some of their dining out experiences. There are some good things to come from this. He encouraged customers who want to help their favorite restaurants to buy gift cards, which could provide the cash they need to get through the winter, already a slower period for the industry. Purchasing those gift cards is going to help those local businesses remain viable, and obviously, you're going to get your benefit from those gift cards down the road when they do reopen, Madigan said. And he's certainly eager to reopen his dining room with the new bar in Urbana. This has been a project that has been in my mind for years, he said. It's ready to go whenever we get the green light from the powers that be. While the Urbana location has survived, Madigan had hoped to open another in summer at Carl at the Fields in Southwest Champaign, but that is on hold and may depend on Urbana's success. The building is up, it's beautiful, and the developer has been very kind to me, he said. The goal is that we get reopened in the next month or so in all four locations I'm involved in across central Illinois. And hopefully business is good, and then I can embark on expansion. The next article is by Tom Kasich, his opinion, titled, A Bad Year for a Lot of Things, Including Predictions. I'll make one prediction about 2021. Making predictions will make you look foolish. I told myself in 2016, after Donald Trump's surprising win, that I wouldn't try to forecast political outcomes again. But a few days before the 2020 election, I suggested, it wasn't really a prediction, that U.S. Representative Rodney Davis was in for another close race in Illinois' 13th congressional district. A few polls have showed another close race this year, with the added concern that Trump is running even more poorly than he did in the district 4 years ago when he got 49.39%, I wrote. Davis ended up defeating Democrat Betsy Landegren by nearly 9 percentage points, far better than 2 years earlier. And Trump got a slightly higher percentage of votes in the district than in 2016. I wasn't alone in such folly. How about this one in the waning days of 2019, made by Illinois football coach Lovie Smith? All our good football is ahead of us, he told the Chicago Sun-Times. We're not running from what our record was the last decade. Illinois had been down a long period of time, but as far as catching teams in our division that have traditionally been very good, we feel like we're there now. We plan on beating everyone and eventually being the champion of this league. Illinois finished in last place in the Big Ten West Division in 2020 with one win against a division foe. Smith was fired. In baseball, the Yankees and Dodgers were the picks in Las Vegas to play in the World Series. The Dodgers won the series, but the Yankees went down in the second round of the playoffs to the eventual American League champs, the Tampa Bay Rays. Even the beloved Dr. Anthony Fauci, the grandfatherly immunologist who has been depended upon for wisdom and calm during the coronavirus epidemic, faltered. Here's Fauci in a USA Today story in February. Fauci doesn't want people to worry about the coronavirus, the danger of which is just minuscule, but he does want them to take precautions against the influenza outbreak, which is having its second wave. We have more kids dying of flu this year at this time than in the last decade or more, he said. At the same time, people are worrying about going to a Chinese restaurant. The threat is we have a pretty bad influenza season, particularly dangerous for our children. The wise guys on Wall Street were pretty bad too, wrote Jeff Sommer in the New York Times. In December 2019, the median consensus on Wall Street was that the S&P 500 would rise 2.7% in the 2020 calendar year, Sommer wrote. At that moment, that target is too low. On December 18th, the market was up almost 15% for the year. That's a forecasting error of more than 12 percentage points, much greater than the estimate of the market's increase for the entire year. How bad of a forecast is that? It's as if you were told that it would snow 2.7 inches just before a blizzard dumped 15 inches on your town. Wait, there's more. That would have been bad enough, but when the stock market plummeted in February and March, forecasters wouldn't leave bad enough alone. In April, the Bloomberg survey showed forecasters predicted that the S&P 500 wouldn't rise at all for this calendar year. They said the market would fall about 11%. That consensus forecast was off by a whopping 26 percentage points, Sommer wrote. In politics, there was that time in March that Bernie Sanders said he'd win the all-important Michigan primary and steal the momentum from Joe Biden. I feel good about the momentum we have. I think we are going to do well on Tuesday and beat Biden, Sanders said. Biden won Michigan, 53% to 36%. And Sanders did win North Dakota that day, but Biden also won Missouri, Mississippi, Idaho, and Washington. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi predicted in August that the most pessimistic outcome for Democrats in House elections would be a gaining Republican seats in double digits. Democrats lost 10 House seats. No list could be complete without some of Trump's 2020 prophecies, like this one, after a rally at the Villages in Florida. He tweeted video where one man yelled, "White power, white power." Trump tweeted, "Thank you to the great people of the Villages. The radical left do nothing. Democrats will fall in the fall. Corrupt Joe is shot. See you soon." The tweet was removed. And the president had a series of sunshiny statements early in the COVID-19 pandemic, contending that the virus soon would be gone. "Just stay calm. It will go away," he said March 10th. "It's going to go away, hopefully at the end of the month. And if not, hopefully it will be soon after that," he said March 31st. "At some point, this stuff goes away, and it's going away," he said June 15th. "This thing's going away. It will go away like things go away," he said August 5th. Then the message changed. "We are rounding the turn. We are rounding the corner," he said, October 22nd. "It's going away. It's rounding the turn," he said, October 24th. And on the distribution of the coronavirus vaccine, Trump declared on December 8th, "If authorized, tens of millions of vaccine doses will be available this month, and we'll get it distributed very quickly. We have that all set, and hundreds of millions more will quickly follow." As of December 30th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that 2.79 million people had been vaccinated, far short of the president's lofty prediction. Tom Kasich's column appears on Sundays in the News Gazette. He can be reached at kasich@newsgazette.com. Continuing on the front page, high school graduations for the class of 2021, Uncertainty Rules the Day, by Anthony Zilas. Champagne. Jada Bonham felt sorry for her senior classmates at Centennial High School last year when they were left to watch a virtual graduation ceremony from home. The thought that the class of 2021 would experience the same thing didn't even cross her mind. "I thought I was going to be 1 year and that was it," said Bonham, now a senior herself. "Now we're in the same situation, with a vaccine being rolled out amid a new surge in COVID-19 cases, high school administrators and seniors are in a holding pattern as to whether they'll experience a warm, family-filled graduation or a chiller, virtual version. Mohammed Seymour, for instance, has already reserved its usual location, Fallinger Great Hall at Cranard Center for the Performing Arts on the University of Illinois campus, for May 28th. As far as making concrete plans, though, Principal Chad Benedict said he can't really do much. "We're planning to move forward like we've always done," Benedict said. "And then, once the day gets closer, we'll move forward." A year ago, Benedict's school put together a live virtual graduation where students came to the school in small groups at scheduled intervals as family and friends watched from home. Other schools, including Champaign Central and Centennial, pre-recorded speeches but simply had photos of graduating students as names were read off, and others, including Urbana, pre-recorded students receiving their diploma and walking across the stage. If it comes to that, schools will have a base of knowledge they didn't have a year ago when few imagined they might be doing virtual graduations all over again. I think we jokingly made some notes and said, if this is something that we have to go through again, these are some things we might do different. But it was all kind of tongue-in-cheek because we didn't know at that time, Benedict said. We've honestly been in survival mode because we've been trying to plan things, and everything can change, as we've seen, in a day or two. So it's hard to make those plans. That's what's made education so tough. At Bismarck Henning, Rossville, Alvin, last year's virtual graduation, which opened with a shot of a senior playing the trumpet and included slow motion shots of seniors getting their diplomas with music playing in the background, was pieced together by a professional cinematographer. It was well received, Principal Brent Rademacher said, but it wasn't something the school wanted to have to do again. But as May draws closer, they may have to consider it this year. Unfortunately, the uncertainty is still as strong as ever, Rademacher said. I don't think that anyone has ruled out the possibility of a traditional ceremony, but needing to plan an alternative certainly is in play. Still, schools are holding out hope that vaccines or mitigation efforts will make some sort of in-person ceremonies possible. Some will consider moving their ceremonies outside, while others have broached the topic of pushing back the dates of ceremonies. Right now, administrators are simply left to wait and see what spring brings. I can say that our desire is to do something in person, Champaign Central Principal Joe Williams said. That's why we aren't making any plans right now that require us to partner with companies to help with a virtual graduation like we did last year. Bonham always imagined the warm feeling of experiencing graduation with her family and friends when she'd take photos with friends in their caps and gowns and head to her own graduation party after. With the second semester set to start this week, she's already resigned to the fact that won't happen. Instead, she envisions sitting in front of a computer like she does every day for school, watching a few speeches and listening to names of some of her fellow students. I think I'll watch it until my name comes up, she said. Then I'll be done. And continuing with an article by Jay Simpson, Jay's Take, titled Many Side Effects of Missing Out on Sports. This year, I've witnessed kids give up on their dreams because they couldn't play. Sports is all some of these kids had to look forward to, and to take that away from them is everything. Some kids don't have anything but sports to keep them on the right path, and they don't receive the leadership and support of family members to encourage them to keep working hard. There are some adults out here that are terrible influences on children. They will give kids terrible guidance and advice, all because they don't want to see anyone doing better than themselves, or they're trying to be under the cool act, and neither one of those is going to help a kid succeed. The youth need more leaders and people who they know have their best interests at heart. If a kid can trust you, then they will run through a brick wall for you. It's all about love and trust. I want to get our community back to how it was when I was growing up. The big homies were actually big homies, and they let the kids know when they were messing up and made sure we got our acts together, whether we liked it or not. That's how it is supposed to be. If I've already went down the path I see you going down, I'm going to share my experiences with you and do everything I can to keep you from experiencing the same thing. It might not be pretty every time, and you might not like me after, but you'll know it's all out of love. It's okay to be cool and friendly with the youth, But at the same time, we need to be able to differentiate playtime and when it's time to be serious. Kids learn a lot more from actions than they do words. So if we set the example with our actions, they will follow suit. Everything us adults are doing right now should in some way be for the youth, because they are really the future. Jay Simpson writes for the News Gazette. His column appears Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, and he can be reached at jsimpson@newsgazette.com. And continuing with the coronavirus pandemic, day 295, Illinois impact. Vermilion reports 78th death, 41 hospitalized. Champaign, Iroquois, Piatt avoid county warning level list. A woman in her 60s became the 78th Vermilion County resident to lose their life to COVID-19. Local health officials also reported Saturday that 41 COVID-positive Vermilion residents were hospitalized. Champaign, Iroquois, and Piatt are among 21 counties that didn't appear on the Illinois Department of Public Health's weekly coronavirus warning level list. Among the 81 counties that did, DeWitt, Douglas, Ford, and Vermilion. Counties make the list if they miss state targets in two or more of eight categories. No area county hit the target of 50 new cases per 100,000 people, with Champaign at 237, Piatt at 293, Douglas at 498, Ford at 528, and Vermilion at 566. After adding 30 positive tests in 2 days, Mahomet's 61853 zip code has the third most active cases in Champaign County, 68, passing the Champaign zip code of 61820 that covers much of Campus Town, with 61 active. Of the 21 counties that make up Region 6, the lowest 7-day positivity rate now belongs to Iroquois County. It's 5.1%, down from 0.8% from Friday. The state's 7-day rate rose for a 6th straight day. And continuing with top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. In March, when the governor's shelter-in-place order was announced, the Millers in Savoy invited us into their house for a look at a family room fort, cleverly constructed to make the best of a bad situation. In a way, and to this day, the Millers are a pandemic poster family, adjusting to cancellations of all kinds, trips, graduations, school, while trying to hold it together. "What else are you going to do?" said Karen Miller, speaking for her 4 children and husband. "Sit around and lament, or try to do something creative and have some fun. I'm not going to say we haven't had our moments, but it's been fine." In the spring, the Millers threw a socially distant driveway prom and porch graduation ceremony for Ally, Champaign Central class of 2020. In December, they devised a mobile celebration for Annika upon her graduation from Illinois State, with neighbors decorating Van Buren Street with red balloons and shouting congratulations. Even the basement fort still stands. "We're no different than anybody else, trying to make good for our kids and family," Karen said, "just trying to make lemonade out of lemons." And continuing with on this day in history, area history in 1921, the Illinois basketball team took another trimming, losing 30-25 to Nebraska. The visitors played a team of veterans who maneuvered as a unit while the Illinois players were on their own most of the game. In 1971, the Illinois Commerce Commission gave strong support to a plan that urged that Champaign-Urbana be given fast, modern passenger rail service as part of a new national system. The ICC wanted Champaign-Urbana to be selected for both Chicago to New Orleans and Chicago to Miami service. In 2006, Potomac officials were starting the new year in a new village hall that would also serve as a police station and community center. It was just something we needed, said Mayor Rodney Rogers. International history, today's highlight. On January 3, 1977, Apple Computer was incorporated in Cupertino, California by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Mike Markula Jr. On this date in 1777, General George Washington's army routed the British in the Battle of Princeton, New Jersey. In 1870, groundbreaking took place for the Brooklyn Bridge. Continuing with local news, Willard Airport, a woman facing DUI charges after vehicle rams into gate by Mary Shank, Savoy. A Champaign woman remained jailed Saturday on a number of charges stemming from her allegedly driving under the influence in a secure area of Willard Airport in Savoy. Heidi N. Burns, 37, of the 2000 block of Moreland Boulevard, was arrested about 2:15 a.m. Friday by a University of Illinois police officer at a gas station on Dunlap Avenue in Savoy. U of I Police Lieutenant Joe McCullough said officers were called to the airport just after 2 a.m. because members of the crash rescue service saw a car on the apron ramming into a gate on the west side of the terminal in an attempt to get out of the locked area around the taxiways and runways. 5 minutes later, an officer en route to the airport passed a car matching the description of the one given with its hazard lights on, heading north. He pulled in behind it at the Circle K on Calvin Street. McCullough said the officer identified the driver as Burns, who was found to have 3 pills of suspected ecstasy and a small amount of cannabis in her purse and both open and unopened alcohol in the car. McCullough said she smelled of alcohol and said she had been drinking at a party earlier in the evening. McCullough said security video showed the car repeatedly hitting an automatic gate before it gave way so that the car could leave the airport property. He said officers later found the spot on the north side of the airport where the car had apparently initially breached the fence just beyond a dead end at Mattis Avenue, extended on the south side of Old Church Road. McCullough said Burns was taken to the hospital but refused chemical testing. She was medically cleared and taken to jail. Judge Sam Lamentata set her bond Saturday at $75,000. She's expected to be formally charged Monday with DUI and criminal damage to state-supported property. U of I police had also issued her citations for leaving the scene of an accident, driving without insurance, and illegal transportation of alcohol. McCullough said Saturday he did not yet have an estimate of the damage to the fence and the gate at the airport. The next article is on Interstate 57, man accused of having cocaine in car, also by Mary Shank. A Champaign man who allegedly had cocaine for sale in a car last weekend has been charged with a Class X felony. Kawanza King, 23, who listed an address in the 900 block of West Beardsley Avenue, was arraigned Monday on charges of possession with intent to deliver cocaine and possession of cocaine. The charges stemmed from his arrest about 10:30 p.m., December 26th, on Interstate 57, south of Rantoul. And the last article I'll read is Previous Connection, Loaded Gun, That's 4 Years, by Mary Shank. A Champaign man who admitted he had a gun he is prohibited from possessing was sentenced to 4 years in prison. Aaron Hedrick, 30, whose last known address was in the Ridgewood Drive area, pleaded guilty Tuesday to unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon. And we'll have to take a short break now and return with the second half hour for the News Gazette for Sunday, January 3rd, 2021. Please stay tuned.